I know a doctor who was resuscitating a man who had died during a cardiac exam, and he just passed out. And the doctor began to try to resuscitate him. And all of a sudden, the man woke up and said, "I'm in hell. Don't stop." And the doctor says, "I'm not going to stop." He lost the man again. He came back again, and he says, "Tell me how to get saved." And he says, "I'm a doctor, not a preacher." What would your answer be if someone said, "How do I get saved?" Doctor was a doctor that I used to work for. The doctor was a doctor that I used to witness to. His name was Dr. Maurice Rawlins. And I would talk to him, and he'd say, "Will you leave me alone? I am fine. I know Jesus Christ." And I remember looking at him. I was a little brash. And I said, "Dr. Rawlins, if you know Jesus Christ, if you really know him, then you're really going to get it at the judgment seat of Christ, because you don't act like you know him." Anyway, it's amazing that he did not fire me, but he didn't. I would give him tracts, and one day I remember walking into his office after I had given him one, and he was sitting there reading it, and he jammed it in his desk drawer and got up and was really gruff, and that's the way Maurice was. So when he was resuscitating this man, and this man said, "Tell me how to get saved," and he says, "I'm a doctor, not a preacher," you know, the man went out again, and finally the man looked up with this look of horror and said, "You've got to tell me how to get saved." Maurice knew the basics. He knew that Jesus Christ died. He knew that he paid for our sins. He knew that he rose again from the dead. And he told him that, and he said, "You just have to believe." And the man said, "I believe." Well, later on, Maurice went into his room to take down notes on this phenomenon that had happened. And when he got there, he asked the man about being in hell, and the man said, "I don't remember anything about that, but I just know this, that I have received Jesus, and I am a child of God." It was after that, when the other doctors began to kid Maurice, that it was evident that not only had the man gotten saved, but Maurice got saved, because he was thinking about what happened to that man. He was thinking about the change in that man after he prayed, and Maurice realized that he didn't change, that he said that he believed, but his life had never been changed. What makes the difference? It's the Holy Spirit, beloved. You can pray all the prayers that you want to pray, but they don't really work unless you really and truly mean it and you receive Christ. And then when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you've got a changed life. Well, Peter is at the house of Cornelius. This is where we left him. And Peter has told them, "You know, it's not my style. It's not my MO, my method of operation to go into Gentiles' houses but I'm here, and I'm here because God told me that I shouldn't consider you unclean." Well, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? So as he talks to him, then he turns around and he opens his mouth and he says this, and we're in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, and just in case you missed the last program, it is 8 years after Pentecost, 8 years after the Holy Spirit descended on those men, and for 8 years now, the gospel has been going out in Jerusalem and in Judea to the Jews, but not to the Gentiles. Cornelius is the first one to have a witness in his home. And when Peter's there, he's not like Maurice Rawlins. He knows what to say, and Maurice knows what to say now. Maurice wrote a book, and it was beyond death's door, because he began to see what these experiences were that these other people were having, and he wrote a book on it. And I remember when he brought it over to the house, and we were sitting there and we were praying, because he wanted me to read the book and tell him if he was off base scripturally. And we were sitting there and we were holding hands, and I was praying, and all of a sudden I felt like he was staring at me, and I looked up and he was. And he was just shaking his head. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I can't believe that I'm sitting here holding your hand and praying with you. God transforms us. Well, Cornelius is about to be transformed. This is a man now that has a hunger for God, but he does not yet know his son, Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Have you got that down? God is not one to show partiality. You know, there are some of you that were involved in World War II, and you still have a hatred for the Japanese. There are some of you that have hatreds for other nationalities, and if you knew that they were going to be in heaven, you'd say, you don't want to be there. Well, I want to tell you something. If that's your attitude, go check and make sure that the Holy Spirit's under your hood, that you've got that power of the Holy Spirit, because God is not a person that shows partiality. Listen, he says this, it's very important, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Now, what does he mean, the man who fears him and does what's right? He's talking about a man that all of a sudden realizes, hey, there is a God. When Maurice was resuscitating that man and he had that experience, he realized that he was headed for hell and that he needed God. So he's saying God is looking for those who fear him. Those who understand that he is God and who want to know him and who want to do right. They want to do right and they're doing right as well as they can do right, but they don't have the power in them to do it all the time. And so he goes on to say, you know, is that you? Is that you? Has God got you tuned to this program? Because that's you. Because you want to know how, because you want to do what's right, because you do have a respect and a trust for God, and you walk away in the business place when other people start slamming God, and when you hear them use the name of Jesus Christ in a profane way, or hear them, you know, call on God's name and desecrate it, or tell jokes like that, it offends you. It offends you. You haven't aligned yourself with Christians yet, but it offends you. God's dealing with you. And that's why you're hearing the truth of God today. Well, let's go on and hear what else Peter said. He said, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't have Christ, you're at enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. And it's not God that's moved away from you. It's you that has chosen to move away from God, to do your own thing, to live your own way. It's your choice. And so you're at enmity with God. And he says, if you want to have peace with God, there's only one way to get peace. Just imagine both of my hands separated. There's only one way to get peace, and the only way that connects you with God is the cross. So put the cross in between my two hands, and you've got peace through Jesus Christ. It says, he is Lord of all. In other words, he rules over all. He is master over all. John 1 says all things came into being by him. And then Hebrews 1, and he is the sustainer of all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. So he goes on to say, you yourselves know the thing that took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. I mean, they didn't have newspapers. They did not have radio. They did not have television, but they had word of mouth. And when something happened in that area, Jerusalem, I mean, Israel is a very, very small land. And so when something happens in Galilee, it can reach the ears of those in Jerusalem very quickly. And when you have somebody walking around healing the sick and raising the dead and causing the blind to see and the dumb to talk and the lame to walk, I mean, man, news is all around. And when you have somebody that's out there and he's wearing this kind of a hairy garment and he's out in the middle of the wilderness and he's crying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, you know it. And he says, you've heard all of this. You've been here. You're occupying our land. You know what's going on. He says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. If you've been following this series, if you've been listening to these programs, then you know how from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we have looked at the Holy Spirit and we have looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit would anoint Jesus. It's in the Old Testament. Now it says it here in the New. And you know, you say, oh, I wish I had heard. I wish you had heard too. I wish you had been listening and studying along with me. But you know what? Good news, good news. You can go to our website, preceptsforlife.org. preceptsforlifeoneword.com. I said .org, forgive me, it's .com. preceptsforlife.com. And when you go to that website, you can find out how to get these programs and how to listen to them. We've got them on CD. They're ready for you. They're ready to go, and we'll get them out of the door. They're ready to go, and you'll grow. Okay. Back to verse 38, because it's important. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. You see, when you get the Holy Spirit, then, as I said, you get the you get the engine under the hood. You get the power that makes the car grow. So he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he, Jesus, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And when I mark my Bible, if I come to any reference on the devil, I put a red pitchfork over it. And I hope that you are marking your Bible. I hope that you mark verse 38 where it says the Holy Spirit, every reference to the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of these things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. We saw this. He did it in the land of the Jews. He did it in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible. Now, what has he just done? He has just covered the death of Jesus Christ. He has shown them that these people were under the power of the devil, and that's because of their sin, and that God has raised him from the dead. What did Maurice need to tell this man that he was resuscitating? He needed to make sure that that man understood who Jesus Christ was, that he was the Son of God, who died for that man's sins, who was buried, and who was raised from the dead because God was satisfied with his death. And Peter goes on to say more, and we're going to see the impact that it had in just a moment.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. And we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
I'm so glad you're back. I am so glad that we are studying God's Word together. And I just, you know, I have a hard time expressing it, but I just love it that you want to know truth and that you're willing to go through and just look at it verse by verse. These are words of life. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Do you realize that this is Gentile Day? I mean, in all of history, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no more significant day than this day, because this is the day when the first Gentile comes into the body of Jesus Christ and opens the door for people of every tribe and tongue and nation to become part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the church, what we call the invisible church, because we're all over and we can't see all of us at one time. But Acts chapter 10, well, verse 40, Peter is preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his household and his friends, because he's got them all there, because Simon Peter is coming to explain this to us. And God told me to get this man here, and I know something great is going to happen. Well, Peter says, and God raised him, Jesus, up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. You know, when you read through the Word of God carefully, you see who's in control. It's God that's in control. When that man went out and was dying, and Maurice Rollins was resuscitating him from the dead, that was orchestrated by God. That was orchestrated by God because God was drawing him to himself. Now, watch what happens. And God was using that to draw Maurice to himself and then to use Maurice greatly as a result of all that. Well, it says he was visible, but not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after, you want to put a time clock there, after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us. He, Jesus, ordered us. We're under commission. We are under our Lord's, our Master's command. We are under orders. He ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one, Jesus, who has been appointed by God as judge, listen, as judge of the living and of the dead. Jesus is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead, which means, beloved, that if you don't have Jesus, you're among the dead and you are going to perish forever. But God doesn't want that. Watch what he says. Of him, all the prophets bear witness. So you go back to the Old Testament. All the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives, and this is awesome, forgiveness of sins. I mean, do you have a past that makes you, that torments you? Do you have a past that you want to hide, that you want to bury, that you want to erase? I know, I've been there. I have that kind of a past. Well, listen, you can have forgiveness of sins. This is what salvation is all about. This is what the new covenant that we saw in Jeremiah 31, the new covenant that I will make in those days, and your sins I will remember no more. There is forgiveness of sins. You can start anew. And it says, but you started by believing in his name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, let's go back just and look at it very quickly. In Acts chapter 4, Peter is speaking. In verse 8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, he has just healed a sick man. And then he comes down and he's giving them the gospel. Let me just tell you this. If you could learn that every situation that God puts you in may be an opportunity for you to give the gospel. So what you do is wherever you find yourself, you're just praying. You're to pray without ceasing, and you're saying to God, God, show me what I am to say, what I am to be in this. God, lead me by your Spirit. And as you do that, God's going to lead you, and he's going to put his words in your mouth. So he says this, let it be known to all of you, I'm in verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He, speaking of Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And if anyone does not believe in that name, does not believe in Jesus Christ, and thinks they can get to God through another path, through another religion, they are wrong. They are deceived. They're going to be judged by Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. So go back to Acts chapter 10 again and listen to what he says in verse 43. Of him, of Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. You may be a Muslim that is curious about this program. And you may have been curious about the Passion of the Christ, and you may have gone to see that film because Muhammad and the Quran refer to Jesus Christ. And so you want to know more about him. Well, one of the things that you need to understand is you believe that he is a prophet, and a prophet he is. But a prophet, a true prophet, cannot lie. A true prophet never tells anything false. And this true prophet, Jesus Christ, says that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to God the Father except by him. There's only one God, and there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no other name, but it's through this name that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And I know if you're a Muslim that you don't know how to get forgiveness of sins. Well, this is the only way that any human being, Hindu, Muslim, you know, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, anyone can ever have forgiveness of sins is only through Jesus Christ. And while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, now watch, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening. And just imagine me taking my handkerchief, putting it on my head, and that representing the Holy Spirit falling on these people that are hearing the gospel delivered by Peter. And it says, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, Peter didn't go down there alone, he took some Jews with him, were amazed. Why? Catch this. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. And this is a very important phrase also. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. It's Gentile day. Hey, it's Gentile day. The Spirit has come. Now the Spirit is going to all the world. And the message is going to come out so that they can see and understand that there is forgiveness of sins. There is reconciliation with God. There is peace with God. But it's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And these Jews that were there probably on the day of Pentecost are blown away because this is what they're seeing. It says, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Now you say, why is God doing that? Because God wants them to understand that he's no respecter of persons, that anyone who comes to him from any nation can be saved, that it's not just for the Jews. And this is what he's pointing out. And then Peter answered and said, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as we did. In other words, he's talking about salvation. What is he doing? Stop and think. Put away your preconceived ideas. He's saying, believe. He's saying get saved. They get saved, they believe, and the Holy Spirit falls on them just like he did at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you go through the scriptures and you study it very, very carefully and without prejudice, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is synonymous with salvation. You say, but I've had an experience after I got saved. That was your experience. But the Bible teaches that the baptism is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. If you put aside every man's experience and you went only by the Word of God, you say, I'm not going to do that. You need to, precious one. This is about inductive study. This is God's manual, not experience. Then experience comes along, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it wasn't from God. But you could have an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean that you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is synonymous with salvation. You need to study inductively. Go to preceptsforlife.com and go online and find out how you can take our workshop. We have a workshop that helps you understand everything about the Holy Spirit. So what has happened? He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay a few days. They were saved. What about you, beloved? Have you been saved? Have you recognized that there is salvation in none other than in Jesus Christ? If so, come to him today. Receive him and miss hell and know how to have eternal life. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.